This hour of gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause, and I feel like on today's show, one thing we will be doing is just keeping an eye on all things Tiger Woods and the Genesis Invitational. And it is no offense right now to, if I look at the to Keith Mitchell, who is leading at 10 under. Jesus. 64 in the first round, minus 3 through 16 today, has been incredible. Oh, my Lord. But Tiger Woods, finished with 3 straight birdies yesterday. He's even through 12. He is now tied for 25th. So for everyone out there who bet on Tiger to make the cut, well, the projected cut is even. So now you're just hoping for the next six, 7 holes, Tiger Woods is able to keep, go no more than a bogey here or there, and then he would make the cut. So we will keep you up to date on all of that. Kind of a light night in sports. There's a really cool basketball game on tonight between the Rangers and the Edmonton Oilers. We'll get into that. And in basketball, you have the Bucks beating the Bulls, the Clippers beating the Suns. But maybe the biggest actual thing, the Calgary Flames, excuse me. We got to get into the Calgary Flames, and I got a bet out there. I went to FanDuel, plus 180 to miss the playoffs. I'll tell you in a second, while that bet is maybe not a bad idea. Now, unfortunately, the bet that I made that I felt great about and horrible about all in one was taking the United States women's soccer team to beat Canada yesterday at the opening game of the She Believes Cup. Canada arrives yesterday wearing purple, a color associated with gender equality. They taped over the Canada soccer logo on their backpacks. They walked out before with the words "enough is enough" etched on their shirts. Before the match, actually, Canada and America, in solidarity, they formed a heart at the center circle, which is remarkable because there's a lot of animosity between those teams. Bleep America. If you think I'm still not pissed off about what happened in the summer games in 2012, well, you got a lot of things coming. They got screwed. I hate the Americans. Like I do. Abby Webbeck, all the Morgan, all those players. Bleep them all, which is the ultimate sign of respect I can give a team when I have rage about them. But producer Nick, who you were watching that game, the United States won 2-0. Did Canada have a chance to win yesterday?
The quality of Canada, yes, they obviously had a chance, but the odds were completely stacked against them. And you saw it in the first 6 minutes. The Americans scored, and they had probably 3 or 4 more chances where they could have scored. 6 minutes in, giving up 4 chances is not ideal. But you could just see the preparation discrepancy between the two squads. Like, the U.S. have been training with each other since the middle of January, basically. Right, they had a 2-game set with New Zealand. They've been training together. All the players have been under careful watch, I guess, with the nation. Canada got there a week ago, and then have had all the controversy around them weighing down on the players. Like it was always an uphill battle for Canada in that game, and 2-0. Is about as good as I thought they were going to do, to be fair. And that's not an indictment on the players of the Canadian side.
No.
They played as best they could, but there was lack of preparation because they didn't have the time to do it. Like, they did not have time to get ready for the number one team in the world.
I was actually shocked that the odds weren't even more in the favor of the American team.
Me too.
Team.
Me too. Was, that gives, that
minus,
just shows you how good the Canadians are.
Yeah, it was minus 170 to go and to beat Alex Morgan, the rest of the Americans. My statement was less about the quality of play by the Canadian women's program and more about just the distractions and everything that is going on.
No, there was not a whole lot of optimism coming from the Canadian camp. That's for sure.
On the completely other side of things, we learned that Travis Kelce on March 4th is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live. And it got me thinking. I went back and I looked at everyone who's ever appeared on SNL. And I wish, it's so hard to get, I want to go back and look at sketches. Like when John Madden hosted, Bill Russell hosted back in 1979, Nancy Kerrigan and George Foreman in 94. Like you can go up and down and, you know, there's names that make sense. But here, a quick trivia question for you, and I don't include wrestlers because then it would be The Rock. He's hosted the most. Do you know which athlete has hosted SNL the most?
Isn't it Peyton?
It is not. And that's the funny thing. Everyone assumes it's Peyton. Peyton Manning has only hosted once. It was just so good that we think about it all the time in a bunch of the sketches. No. It's Charles Barkley.
No, that Barkley makes sense. Yeah.
Barkley has hosted four times. And here's about his staying power. He hosted in September 25th of 1993. His last time, March 3rd, 2018. Like, if you want to talk about the great, in terms of just which athlete has stayed the most relevant since their playing days are done, I think it's Barkley. Like, he's nowhere near the power of Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan, you don't hear from him for years. And usually it's just us making fun of, wait a minute, who'd you draft? What did you do with the Wizards? Barkley's hosted four times. That's remarkable.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah, I think it feels like Peyton's been on SNL more, but I guess the question, as you said, was hosted, and that kind of threw me off. Because I know he's been actually in skits, and Eli too, right? So
Yeah. Like Eli hosted like 5 years later. I'm sure Peyton made an appearance there.
So I think that's what threw me off, but you're right. No, Barkley's one of those guys where you're just like, I guess, that makes a lot of sense.
Do you know, I'm going to mispronounce her name, and like this is one of the ways you know you're getting older, when I don't know who the musical acts are anymore. Kelsey, and it's K-E-L-S-E-A, so Kelsey, whatever. Ballerini, do you know that name?
I personally don't.
Yes, of course, you didn't need to say personally, I was asking you. And by the way, you did personally because that was a audio tick because you were delayed for half a second going, who the hell's Kaz talking about?
I had to think about it, so I gave myself the extra second, but no, I don't.
You did, yeah. I myself, personally, when it comes to this question, and we all do it. Everyone who talks, we all have our audio ticks.
Yeah, the classic extender.
We all do our extenders. Well, at the end of the day, that's my favorite one. At the end of the day, you know what I do at the end of the day? I sleep. The first ever guest athlete to ever appear on SNL, Fran Tarkenton. Then after that, it was O.J. Simpson. What's he up to? Anyway, let's get to my opening thought.
Time now for Matt's opening thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
And here we go.
I mean, it's really nothing more than a self-absorbed monologue, a chance for Matt to rant about something and pretend he's a serious radio personality instead of a gas bag. Let's face it, he stole this idea from Dennis Miller.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Let's talk about football that isn't the NFL. The XFL season starts this weekend, and for me, it brings up so many fascinating issues of what the NFL could become. What could they learn? Also, just how much do Americans love football? What is the impact of sports betting can have on making spring football a thing that actually survives? You know, what will be the innovations the XFL will do, rules that maybe the NFL will steal? Now, before I continue, to all the CFL and Argo fans who complain, what about some attention to the CFL? What about attention to them? Done and done. I'm glad you asked. My favorite moments from CFL free agency over the last 48 hours, Edmonton getting Eugene Lewis, the best receiver in the CFL over the last 3 years, getting him from Montreal, getting Stephen Dunbar, who had 1,000 yards with Hamilton last year, getting those two players to surround the young quarterback, Taylor Cornelius, good move. Montreal getting Cody Fajardo. How does Cody look without Saskatchewan's offensive line? Saskatchewan, Trevor Harris is going there. Careful, Trevor. That offensive line needs help, but you did get Jake Winicky. You took him from Montreal as well, the top deep threat receiver 2 years ago. And finally, Toronto going out and getting Darius Pickett, a great linebacker, and Florian Omelad, who is a defensive lineman you might not have heard of, But the guy led the league in quarterback pressures last year. And to quote Derek Taylor, I bet the guy gets double-digit sacks in 2023. The Argonauts defense is going to be even better. Now, if you want some value, why not grab Ottawa at 12-1? Jeremiah Masoli is back, and they just re-signed the reigning defensive player of the year. Ottawa 12-1. That is some value. All right, moving over to the next football we will see. What I find interesting about the XFL is the ambition to try something that has done nothing but fail. Every spring league eventually fails, often in the first year, definitely after the end of the second. Even NFL Europe, the United Football League, the fall experimental football league, the Alliance of American Football. There's 100 other football leagues. Just go look at McLeod Bethel Thompson's resume, and you will find football leagues you've never heard of. The XFL, they failed twice. They lasted one season in 2001. They lost $70 million. They tried again in 2020, but dead on arrival. Won't blame them. That was on COVID. Then came Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his business partners. They acquired the intellectual property of the XFL for $15 million. So why will this version work? Well, let's see. They got the star power of The Rock. That'll help. But there's one big difference about this version and the past two. It's sports betting. You can go on to FanDuel right now. You'll find bets for the XFL. This is the first time that it's legal. A total of 36 states have legalized sports gambling since the start of 2018. Why do you think we're doing this show? That number will soon be 40. Or sorry, the amount of states, it's soon going to hit 40. ESPN is planning on having gambling info, lines, totals littered all over the screen for XFL games. Also, the XFL, they'll soon have a sports gambling partnership. It's going to happen. So the big issue, money. At the very least, they'll have a healthy source of revenue that never been around before. Betting aside, let's put that to the side. We'll get plenty more access of coaches and players and what's actually being said on the field. That can be fun. Maybe they don't make it as sterile and conservative and protect the sanctity of sports that we see in every other league. Even better, we got some new rules to have fun with. Onside kick never works. Never works in football. Never. Now, a team, if they want to go for an onside kick, they have to attempt a 4th-and-15 from its own 25-yard line. Will it work? I don't know, but it's going to be better than what we have now. Coaches will be able to challenge anything once per game. Anything. By the way, teams can score 3 points after scoring a touchdown if they elect to place the ball at the 10-yard line following a touchdown. Great. I love it. So you got new rules, new access. You get more money coming from sports betting. Maybe the XFL can make a go of it. But see, in the end, there are two big keys for the XFL to work. One, can they create a star that is bigger than the coaches? The Vegas Vipers, they got Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer. The San Antonio Brahmas, I don't know what a Brahma Bowl. They got Hines Ward, Super Bowl MVP, should be a Hall of Famer. We'll save that debate for late July. The Houston Roughnecks, Wade Phillips, great defensive coordinator, won a Super Bowl in Denver. Great years in Buffalo and Dallas as a head coach. So for the XFL to survive, they need to have players whose names become a bigger headline than the coaches. Now, the biggest key, if this XFL is to truly survive, can they ever have a player who becomes a bigger draw than The Rock? That one I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, right now, there's not a lot of stars in the XFL. You got Josh Gordon, who had one incredible year with Cleveland when Brandon Weeden was his quarterback. Martavius Bryant, never worked out in Pittsburgh, a lot of talent. For college football fans, A.J. McCarron, that guy was a stud at Alabama. Those other former first-round picks, Paxton Lynch, I don't know. Guy couldn't cut it in the CFL. Was he going to cut it in the XFL? Vic Beasley, he was an All-Pro in 2015 with the Falcons. As a fan of all football, I write for the CFL. I do weekly columns or weekly picks for the NFL. Yeah, I'll put it on. I'll see what it's all about. I'm curious to see what it looks like week one this weekend. More importantly, what does it look like by season's end? Can it survive more than 1 year? If it does, you can bet that sports betting is going to be a big reason why the XFL survives. By the way, take the Vegas Vipers to win it all, plus 750 on FanDuel. Rod Woodson, Martavius Bryant, maybe a little Steeler magic. And that is my opening thought.
I'm finished.
And my thought to you there, Nick, when are the Argonauts going to figure out their quarterback situation?
That's a great question, Matty. Is it wrong to think that McLeod Bethel Thompson should be given the chance anyway?
Of course it should be. Listen, Chad Kelly was great, but he was great on just a couple drives at the end of the Grey Cup. Now, it was at the most important time of the season. He came through.
Of course.
And he's got a great college resume. He's got a lot of the skill set you'd want to see. But for the most part, college quarterbacks with all this great resume, they don't succeed. They don't succeed in this league. It takes more than that. But McLeod Bethel Thompson, we don't know about. Chad Kelly, we don't know about. All the quarterbacks have signed in other places. Hamilton got Bo Levi Mitchell. Montreal, I think they take a bit of a step back. I think Ottawa could be really dangerous now that they got, if Jeremiah Masoli could stay healthy.
But you know what's funny? Didn't we say that about Ottawa last year going into the season?
We did, and then Masoli got hurt. And then it all went to poop. Oh, yeah. Just horrible. So. On the other side of the show. Yeah, no, today will be a fun one. Actually, we mentioned Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is going to be has the record for the most times hosting SNL as an athlete. I want to get into Barkley because he said something really fascinating yesterday about how there could be a lockout in the NBA. And if there is, you can blame Kyrie, Durant, and Harden. We'll talk about that next right here on Gameplay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Kaz. So the NBA is now off for basically a week. You got the All-Star game going on. And for me, I'll have like the skills competition or the NBA slam dunk contest. If I'm home, I'll have that on in the background. The three-point contest, that is the only one that I'm going to make sure, like that for me, producer Nick, that gets PVR treatment. That gets, when is it on? I want to PVR it. And that is the one thing that I'm going to make sure to watch. And it's the one, you know, maybe bet on Damian Lillard plus 470, Kevin Huerter plus 550, Buddy Hield plus 420 are some of them. You also have, Jason Tatum is taking part of it. At least you have legitimate actual stars. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and it's so crazy to think that maybe 5-6 years ago, that was not the marquee event. The marquee event was the slam dunk competition. And it has fallen so far.
I don't care about it. Like here's the thing. It's fallen so far. No offense to Aaron Gordon, who's a good player and, you know, is working out very well with Denver. But Aaron, like, I miss Aaron Gordon being in the slam dunk contest, and I don't think he's ever made an all-star team. And, I mean, he was incredible. But, like, I bring up the names Max McClung, don't know him. Kenyon Martin Jr., loved your dad. Jericho Sims, are you a wrestler? Trey Murphy III, you made that name up. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, none of these names I have any interest in whatsoever.
Well, it's funny, because the first name you mentioned, the one that you've never heard of, Mac McClung, is the only one I'm interested in seeing, but that's because
he won the high school.
Well, no, he's just contest. He has a lot of skill, and even in college, you could see that he has a lot of hops. So I'm interested to see what he does. The other guys, I don't care. Like, it's just one name can't make a competition. Think about the names that you listed off for the 3-point competition, right, Matty? You listed Dame. Like, these are legitimate names.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jason Tatum and Dame Lillard have made first all NBA teams.
Yeah.
Tatum he's not going to win the MVP, but you know, his name will be in the MVP conversation, at least be in the top 5. You're not going to find that with anyone else. Also, if anyone's betting on the actual All-Star game, it feels like to me you've got to bet on Team LeBron, because what happened last night with the Bucks and the Bulls? Giannis got injured, right wrist sprain. His coach, and this was from yesterday, said the initial reports were hopeful. The x-ray was clean. He's got a sprain. I think we'll see how he feels tomorrow, see how he feels the next few days, and continue to evaluate it. I there's no way, you know, there's no way Giannis is, you're going to see him suiting up to play this weekend. I mean, the Bucks came out the other day and said, we don't care about catching Boston for the number one seed. They said that after they barely beat a Celtics team that didn't have Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown in the lineup. But, like, to me, the simplest bet Team LeBron to win the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty safe bet. I'm just curious, with a last-minute substitution, who comes in last second?
Yep.
Like, I know I have a sneaking suspicion if Giannis is out, I'm guessing we'll see Joel Embiid probably get the starter spot from the East.
Oh, yeah, it has to be.
Right? Like, you'd think. But who fills in on the reserves, or do they just play down a man? Because all these guys had vacation plans if they weren't going to the All-Star game, right? Like, I know a lot of the guys end up going to the All-Star game, but what do they do? What's the plan here? How do we fix this? Like,
yep, everyone gets a couple. Yeah, they just get a couple more minutes. Also, I was thinking about when the news came out about Giannis, and I'm sure he'll be fine and he'll probably just miss a couple games, and no better time than now because, you know, you're off for a week. But when you first heard Giannis is injured, I thought about Masai Ujiri. I thought about Masai, and it's like, okay, this is why maybe you attempt to go for it. Like, if Giannis got hurt, if Tatum got hurt, if Joel Embiid got hurt, now you can at least see a path for the Raptors, if things lined up the right way, to win a first round. I know this is not the most noble pursuit, but I think this is part of the reason why he's going for it. And we'll talk to Paul Jones a little bit later, is the possibility of an injury. But keeping with the NBA, this is, I'm not sure where the sound is. I guess it's because the All-Star game's coming, so all the players and executives and broadcasters are descending to Salt Lake City, descending to Utah. And here's Charles Barkley talking about how there could be a lockout because you're getting more and more superstars saying, I don't want to play.
What the NBA is doing, they sending these dudes some messages like, okay, what are we going to do about load management? The next ABC going to come out like, okay, you can't take my mind at the end and say you want to divorce me in 6 months to a year. Because you can only get the max from us. You can't take all my money and then say, hey, I want a divorce. So I'm pretty sure that's the next thing that's going to come out of the CBA. I told you, I don't think there's no doubt in my mind these guys going to get locked out. But these owners, you can't take all their money and treat these owners and fans like crap, what these players are starting to do right now with Lowe's management, taking the money then demand to be traded. No doubt in my mind these guys going to get locked out.
And, I mean, we're seeing these sort of stories gaining a little bit of momentum when you look at Adam Silver saying they're talking about for players to win the end-of-season awards, like All-Star awards. And these come with big money. Like, when Siakam got an All-NBA team last year, that rose, like, his supermax potential. Like, there is things where you can make a lot more money if you make these final All-NBA teams. But now if you link it to you have to play X amount of games, well, that's going to change the landscape of the NBA. And I think there is pressure from a lot of these markets and a lot of these owners and also the TV partners going, hey, why are the stars not playing? Why are we paying all this money, you know, and yet a TNT game, it's a bunch of scrubs. And if you're owners, part of this also is owners don't like not having all the power. Owners don't like being like, wait a minute, that 26-year-old point guard has more power than me? What is going on? Like, imagine being Brooklyn Nets owner Joe Tsai. We can get into his morality later on if you want. We can have that conversation because he's not exactly the cleanest fella. But imagine being him, this like multi-billionaire, and it's like, wait, the flat earther over there has more power than me? How does Kyrie? It just, there's a dynamic, and we are for player empowerment, but we saw in Brooklyn that ran amok. And imagine if you're a fan of a team like the Brooklyn Nets. Or imagine a couple of years ago, you're a fan of the Houston Rockets. You have season tickets. And suddenly, James Harden is showing up out of shape and partying in nightclubs during the height of COVID and whipping balls at players, at the heads of players, whipping the basketball players' heads. Keep an eye on that. Speaking of basketball, Paul Jones is going to join us in the next segment. And I want to get into him about what is the final part of this season going to look like for the Raptors. What does a successful season translate into? We'll do that next. I'm Matthew Cause. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Welcome back, everyone. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. It is a gorgeous Friday here. By the way, gameplay on TSN 1050 is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And it is the Friday of sort of a long weekend, the Family Day weekend. Some of you got it off, some of you don't. If you do have it off, fantastic. I hope it is a good one for you. There are some massive, massive birthdays. Like just in terms of Jim Brown is one of the top five greatest NFL players of all time. Not just like running backs, but you can put him up as, you know, if you're going to do the greatest players of all time, you're going to have Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice, Tom Brady, Montana, Reggie White, everyone do it. Jim Brown is going to be there. Certainly the greatest running back of all time. He was born, yes, to say, in 1936.
Yes.
What I love is Michael Jordan. It is his birthday today. Happy. He was born in this day in 1963. So he is 60 years old. My favorite, and people need to know this, that voice you heard, yes, that's my producer, Nick McVicker. He puts a list together of all these birthdays. You have Buster Olney next. I love Buster Olney. Buster Olney is a must listen on First Up, ESPN baseball writer. You got Buster Olney following Michael Jordan. That is a hell of a list you got there, Nick.
Well, I go in order, to be fair.
No, I know that. But why did you include Buster? I mean, we've got Paris Hilton, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You got Bonnie Wright. Ed Sheeran, you know, there's lots of names out there. Buddy Ryan, and in the Luke Robitaille.
Because he's our guy.
All.
Buster's okay. Our guy. Come on.
Happy birthday to him. Also, if you want to know just how different life is now versus back when Jim Brown was 7 years old in 1943, Joe DiMaggio enlisted into the U.S. Army. Could you imagine in 2023? Aaron Judge is like, you know what, guys? I'll see you in a little bit. I'm going to join the Army. I don't even, like, we would have to create more hours of the day for the amount of content that would create.
Listen, the only time he can do that for our sake is in the middle of the summer when we're really struggling here.
Yes, yes. when I'm explaining why Brett Favre was a better quarterback than Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. And those are the days where we need to have, hey, did you hear about Aaron Judge? He's
when we're arguing movies in the middle of the summer, sports movies. You
yes.
and me, Maddie. We did that last year. That was fun. We got to do that again.
It's always a good one. Then you just have to come up with, like, you know, like, who are the athletes that just do not look like athletes? Like, what were the actors who don't look like athletes?
Who are playing athletes.
There. Yeah, I'll throw out Tim Robbins from.
Good one.
Yeah, Tim Robbins is good the one. And why can't I remember the base movies? It was Susan Sarandon with Kevin Costner.
Bull Durham.
Yes, Bull Durham. Thank you. Oh, that would have made me angry. Thank God you're here today. Thank God you're here today, not producer. If this was Chris Horvat or Josh Poulos, you'd be here for like 7 hours.
You know what we should do? We should have a running game throughout the summer where we quote sports movies, you and me, and they have to guess what the movie is.
That's just going to be me yelling. Not different than most days. Anyway.
We have 3 hours to fill in the summer there, Maddie, so not the worst thing in the world.
Now, I take it we're having a difficult time finding Paul Jones. That would be
correct.
My guess.
He's in Utah. He is calling a game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Between a couple of the historically black college universities.
Oh, cool. So
it's a big event. He's really excited for it. They were having practice today. I don't know if he's in there, but
all right, whatever.
We're having
some
issues.
Don't worry about it. Let's go to the 40th anniversary. Just play the anthem. Give me a little Marvin Gaye right now. This is it's basically a debate between Whitney Houston when she sung the national anthem for Super Bowl 25 in Tampa between the Giants and the Bills. And this, let me hear it there, producer Nick.
Can you see?
Listen to the crowd. This is not me lip sync, people. This is real.
So proudly we hail.
I'm getting goosebumps.
At the twilight's last
Now, the best part is about the top. We got to play it.
Broad stripes and bright stars.
All right, we can lower it now a little bit. But producer Nick, the way he hits the word stars is just like I got my hair is standing at that moment.
Yeah, he does the quick little stars. He doesn't let it linger. Right? That's what makes it, it just gives it that effect, right, Maddie?
Yeah. All right. That is, that was Marvin Gaye. And, like, that's 40 years ago. Like, I was a kid. I think I stumbled on that in the early 2000s when I was working at Off the Record, and I heard that for the first time.
Sounds about right.
Oh, God, absolutely love it. Okay, let's go from something that makes me happy to something that just makes me angry. And it's one of my buttons. Give me the Kevin Durant sound. Kevin Durant speaking to the media. He started practicing with the Phoenix Suns. You know, there was some rumors, oh, he's going to play before the All-Star game. Of course he wasn't. Keep him out and have him ready for the unofficial second half of the NBA year. And he was asked about his time with the Nets. And he says he's getting emotional talking about it. Listen to Kevin Durant.
We didn't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish as far as winning a championship, but I enjoy the grind. And everybody there, we tried our hardest every day, regardless of what was going on in the media, what was going on with our teammates. Everybody who was in that gym, we grinded. So I love those guys. I get emotional to talk about them because that was a special 4 years of my career, coming off of Achilles, and they helped me through a lot.
Both things can be true. I think he obviously it's a very good relationship with some of the players, some of the assistant coaches, some of the trainers, part of the infrastructure of the Brooklyn Nets. He did spend a lot of time there. And also, don't forget the Brooklyn Nets, and a lot of other teams have done this, but the Nets gave him lots and lots and lots of money when they knew for the first year he would never play after that Achilles injury. They did that. But I'm sorry if you say it was special. I have a hard time thinking it was special when you were the one saying, get me out of here. You were the one in the offseason saying, fire the coach, fire the general manager. You know, you were the one that was a bad leader when you said you were taken aback when Kyrie wanted to get traded, and you were shocked by that. When Kyrie was promoting that horrible movie, and your response was, I wish this had never got out to the public. Like, I'm sorry, Durant, you were a bad leader in the Nets. This situation could have, it's more than just grinding. When you're the best player, you got to grind, and you got to be a leader. And he was not. He was not. So I'm sorry. Like, for him to get emotional about it, it falls flat for me. I understand that he had good relationships with people within that organization. I understand the message, but that is a wildly flawed messenger.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, you look at his career, Maddie. He's played in the league for 15 years, 16 if you count the year that he missed. How many of those do you think he spent in Brooklyn?
I think three and a half, but like how many games did he play? Like, I don't know, like three and a half.
He played three full seasons plus the season that he was out, right? He was in Brooklyn. I'm just saying in Brooklyn, not necessarily was on the court. He played three seasons in Golden State. That always baffles me. It doesn't feel like he was there for 3 years.
He was it will go back as he'll go back as a first ballot Hall of Famer. He will be thought of as a top 15, 20 player, maybe higher. But he'll also be one of the greatest what ifs. He will absolutely be one of the greatest what ifs. A guy that talented who probably should have done more winning, but his own bad, like he got in his own way. And not in the way that a lot of other athletes do, where it's, you know, where they make bad decisions, where there's tragedy, there's drugs, there's injuries, there's, you know, there's different things. Like, you know, with him, part of it was just bad injury luck, and part of it was just his own decisions. Leaving OKC, leaving Golden State, choosing Kyrie.
Leaving OKC was not a bad decision.
Oh, I think it was. I think it was a horrible decision.
He went to Golden State. That was a good decision.
Yes and no. I mean, it was a good decision for him. I've always said it for me selfishly. I thought it was a horrible decision. You cannot hit the highest zenith level of athlete.
Yeah.
Is guy who gets it done with the team who drafted him.
Fair enough.
And by the way, that might not be totally fair. I get it. What I'm saying is not totally fair. But he was on a team that was so close to winning it all. It was up 3-1 at Golden State. Okay, we don't need to relitigate.
Yeah.
Because I could do this for hours.
That's a summer conversation.
It is a summer conversation. My God, the summer show's already packed. On the other side, we're going to do our Friday podium. What was the gold, the silver, and the bronze? What were the top stories from this week? We will get into that on the other side. I'm Matthew Cause. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050.
This is Gameplay.
Can I get in on that?
On TSN 1050.
You broke his thumbs.
It was an accident.
Is that what you call it when somebody doesn't pay up?
Embrace the odds.
I want winner.
Gold, silver, and bronze yogurt lids.
It's time for Maddie to own the Friday podium.
Now, the bronze are really blue, and they're also the backside of the gold, so no flipping.
And give us his top three sports stories of the week.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause. I saw this story. We'll get in a little bit about who's the player that's been bet on the most to win the 2024 NFL MVP. I have a very good I would bet that if I give you 10 players, I'd give you 10 players, you still wouldn't get it correct. We'll
I
do
agree
that
with that one.
Yeah, because you saw who it is as well.
I know exactly who it is, and I'm still in shock.
It
so
is shocking. All right, so the gold, silver, and bronze. We haven't done this in a while since you and I've done it. Do you have your list as well there, producer Nick?
I got my list as well. I was struggling to come up with a third, and then I forgot what week it was, so I'm good now.
What I do is I go over, and this won't shock anyone. Well, who knows? It might. You might not know who I am, but I keep a Microsoft Word document of every show. It's just, but it's one. It's on one same document,
yeah.
And then after I get over like 5 million words, I start a new one. But all I do is I go back and look at the week and what were my main topics and questions to come up with my my podium. My bronze for the week is Eric Bieniemy.
Ooh.
There's now reports the offensive coordinator for Kansas City. He's been interviewing in Washington. He may take the job there. Because for some reason that'll help get him the head coaching position, and it was shocking that we saw both Eagles coordinators who lost, they got jobs. And it's nothing against them. I'm sure you know. I'm sure they'll be great. One went to the Colts. One went to the Cardinals. But how did Eric Bieniemy not get a head coaching job? Because you could be like, you know, oh well, they usually give it to guys that are more about defense. Well, that's not Bieniemy. He's an offense guy. He was there helping, not just before Mahomes, he was there helping with Alex Smith. And there's been plenty of other coordinators who had powerful head coaches. They got chances. How many Belichick assistant coaches got chances? Josh McDaniels is on his second job. And I don't want to say this is a bunch of owners, they're all racist. Because I still believe that owners, no matter what prejudice they have in their heart, they're still more greedy and competitive first. And they want to win before anything else. I don't know if I'm being naive there. But the fact that Eric Bieniemy is my bronze, I'm shocked he's not a head coach.
That's a great one, Maddie. And I kind of wish I had that on my list. It's not.
Yeah.
But that's a really good one. I still don't understand why he's not a head coach. We'll never know. But
no idea.
My number three is happening as we speak. And that's Tiger Woods being back at the Genesis. And not just being back, but playing half decently. Like he's in the running to make the cut. He looks like he can hit the ball well. He's out driving Rory and Jordan every once in a while. It looks good. And for a guy who's been out for so long and had so many injuries, like it's a positive sign. And we all know that Tiger Woods being in and around the PGA Tour is a good thing for the PGA Tour, even if he's not at the top. Him just being there is key for the tour. Just because it keeps them top of mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my my outside looking in is Tiger Woods. So yeah, no, that is a good one. And you're right. Getting what he did yesterday, and you know, just being in the mix. My silver is Patrick Kane. Just the speculation-o-meter went way up, especially when taking on the Maple Leafs. You had Carlo Colaiacovo with his sources saying, hey, It's coming down to, it could come down, not will, but could come down to the Rangers or the Maple Leafs, and the Rangers went out and got Tarasenko. So everything about Patrick Kane, I mean, Austin Matthews was asked about it. So my silver medal is Patrick Kane.
That's a good one, too. My silver medal is just the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl once again. Like, we're not a full week past that.
Yep.
It was a great game. The whole thing leading up to the final few seconds. Shout out to Jerick McKinnon, by the way, the running back who could have scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but decided to play the team game and go down at the 1 yard line. Like, how hard of a decision do you think that is in his head?
You don't know
when you're going to get back there, because I don't think he's under contract next year. You don't know when you're getting back to the Super Bowl, if you're getting back to the Super Bowl. You're 1 yard away on an open run into the end zone, and you're like, nope, I have to go down for the team. Like, that's got to be a tough decision.
I think it's a tough one because your instinct says score, score, score. Yeah. I think it's easier to do it then than in the regular season because, like, I got to get so many touchdowns because I need contract incentives and I got to get my next deal. But no, just it was the discipline and the heads up play by him just to fall down on the 1 yard line. I'm sure he heard Greg Olson, who, if you remember during the broadcast, was just yelling, "Get down, get down," which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
My gold is it's going to be the Super Bowl, but I'm going to go specifically with Patrick Mahomes. Because we always do the debate, it's a great one to have, who is elite? Because there's different versions of elite quarterbacks. There's been years where Derek Carr has been near elite for fantasy football. Justin Herbert has elite arm talent. But what true elite looks like, and by the way, only a couple ever hit this level. Like, this is like the Aaron Rodgers level, is the elite quarterback is, take away my best receiver, and I'll still dominate. Well, there was no Tyreek Hill. Then in the playoffs, injuries were happening at receiver, and it didn't matter. Didn't matter against the Bengals. And then in the Super Bowl, and you saw him, you know, clearly his ankle was hurt, and he delivered. And he delivered. He was near perfect in the second half. Patrick Mahomes is that guy where the organization, the general manager, can be like, well, we don't need to spend money on these receivers or these running backs. We'll bring in cheaper options, and Mahomes will turn them from a B to a B+. That is what true elite quarterback is, the guy who can raise everyone else around you. And don't worry about the salary cap. He'll help all the other parts. So that is my gold medal, is Patrick Mahomes.
Agreed with you there, Matty. The definition of elite gets thrown around in the mud a lot nowadays. I think you and me are kind of on the same page of what elite means, which is great, because we can have legitimate conversations about that. But yeah, he is an elite player. So full credit to him. My gold, obviously, I mean, I'm a very soccer-based person. We've had this conversation. So just the whole story surrounding the women's national team, and the fact that they went on strike on Friday, Saturday they had a meeting, and were told that they were going to get sued by the Canadian Soccer Association if they did not return to play, which, by the way, is just insane because the men did this last year and were not even threatened to be sued. And now the women are getting threatened to be sued because the SA knows that they don't have the funds to go through that legal process at the moment. They have to deal with all of this while trying to prepare for a major international tournament in the She Believes Cup, which is in preparation for the Women's World Cup being held just 6 months from now. So much going on. I feel for the players. You saw it in their game against the U.S. last night. They just did not have it in them. It's going to be a tough few months here trying to prep, and they've already said that there's a camp open in April. If nothing's sorted, the players just aren't showing up to that camp, which is that's a situation.
Okay, so here's a question for you: how much? Because I'm the babe in the woods on this one. I don't follow it on a day in day out basis.
Just fair.
How much of this is pure sexist? Because the one thing I remember reading, and just it made a good point, was didn't the men's team go through this exact same thing?
Yes.
So my question is, How, and like this, and it, nothing is absolute. Nothing is what's 100% this. Something is 38% and other parts 42% and whatnot. How much of this is sexism and how much of this is just horribly mismanaged and just horrible mismanagement by Soccer Canada?
I would say about 75 to 80% is horrible mismanagement. And the other part is sexism. Because the men, as you said, the men literally just went through this last year. This isn't new territory for the Canadian national teams. And the men's side is 100% on board with everything that the women's side has been saying during this time.
Oh, yeah.
So this isn't coming out of the blue. They understand what's happening. And they're in support of the women's team. Because it is a joke. The whole situation is a joke. But Canada has been poorly mismanaged from a soccer standpoint for a very long time. I've talked about this multiple times, about where the situation is arising. And honestly, it's getting to the point where I'm not shocked that players don't want to play for Canada, which is an awful thing to say because we want to see the best players play for our country.
And it's, and you know, I know a lot of it's because of business deals that were signed years ago with the Canada Soccer Business, which is still the silliest name.
It was before that, though. That's where the real issues are. Like, we're looking at 2 years in a row where they're cutting funding to both national teams. Both of them are World Cup years, one for the men, one for the women. The women were supposed to be in training camp in the middle of January for the She Believes Cup.
Yeah.
And they got there a week before.
The shocking thing about all this is we've never been this good at soccer, and yet it now feels like this country has never been so dysfunctional about it as well. It's just a shame.
But here's the thing. If you've been in and around soccer, like I've been around the game for a long time, you knew the dysfunction was there. It's not like the dysfunction is new. It's just being brought to light. Because we are so good at the game all of a sudden, right? Like, this kind of came out of the blue, the men's team making the World Cup. The women's team has been good for, like, 20 years. Let's not take any credit away from them.
Yeah.
But because they're now in the public eye, you see it and you're just like, wow, we are dysfunctional.
Ugh. All right. We'll get out of here. It's a shame. They lose 2-0 yesterday. And the She Believes Cup, they'll be playing again next week. And we will certainly hit on that next week on Gameplay. On the other side of the show, Scott Mitchell, our Blue Jays reporter, is going to join us. And Scott has been banging out the columns. There's so much to get into. I'm going to start with him with the question that stumped Keith Law yesterday. What is more important for the Blue Jays this season? George Springer's health? Or Jose Barrios rebounding. We will get into that next right here on Gameplay.
This hour of Gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.